In the book of Isaiah, chapter 37 and 38, there are two recorded prayers of King Hezekiah. We have prayers recorded by other kings. We have multiple prayers recorded by other kings in the Bible, particularly as we think about the Old Testament. But these two prayers of King Hezekiah, back to back in chapter 37 and 38 of the book of Isaiah, are quite interesting because they both teach us a lot about prayer during a difficult time. Both circumstances, and we have discussed this in our Bible class last Sunday morning and this morning as well, and kind of to bring a perspective on this about prayer, both circumstances under which we read about Hezekiah saying a prayer to the Lord, he found himself in great difficulty, a great challenge. In fact, it was almost like a 1-2 punch, and he's told, you know, that he was going to die and not live. He also had to worry about the Assyrian threat of the Assyrian army coming upon the city of Jerusalem and conquering him and toppling the city and taking every way into captivity. And there's debate among those who have done the research as to exactly how close in proximity these events were together. But the general feeling probably is that they were closer together than further apart. Yet they still may have been some months apart or some weeks at least apart. But we find in a certain window of time, Hezekiah has to deal with some great challenges to his faith, to his administration, to his own personal life. And he meets those challenges with prayer. And he meets it with confident prayer. And so this morning, the way we want to approach this is thinking about confidence in prayer. And there are six ways in which we can see from Hezekiah's two prayers that he was confident when he prayed. Now, to once again get ourselves in the setting, I want us to read each one of the prayers of Hezekiah. Isaiah chapter 37 tells us in verse 15, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, and we read the words of his prayer beginning in verse 16 and following, and then we will follow that up by looking not so much direct well at the words, but looking at Isaiah chapter 38 verse 5 about the prayer of Hezekiah there. And both these are instances where he has faced great challenges, where there is great difficulty, that he faces death and disaster, but he does it with prayer and confidence. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 16, King Hezekiah prays, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, God, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they are not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. And then looking at Isaiah chapter 38, verse 5, the Bible says there that Isaiah is to tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer. We'll back up to verse 3, and here's what God heard. Hezekiah prayed, Remember now, O Lord, I pray, for I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. No doubt there are many other words that Hezekiah prayed as he had been told to set his house in order because he would die and not live. and yet sufficient for our thoughts this morning, and our applications are these here as we think about praying with confidence. Because both times when Hezekiah faced these tremendous challenges and these tremendous difficulties, he prayed with complete and total confidence. Number one, we're going to see from Hezekiah's prayers that we can pray with confidence in God's knowledge. We can pray with confidence in God's knowledge. Back in chapter 37, when Hezekiah received the message from the Assyrian king and the envoys that he was going to come and going to take over the city, he told some of his administration, go to Isaiah the prophet and ask Isaiah the prophet to pray for us. And Hezekiah himself would pray as well, but go to Isaiah and ask Isaiah to pray for us. And when those men came into the presence of Isaiah, before apparently they could even tell Isaiah anything, Isaiah said to them, go back and tell Hezekiah this, thus says the Lord. You see, before the message got to Isaiah, Isaiah had already been told by God. Why? Because God already knew. And God knows our problems. God knows when we face disaster and death and difficulty. God knows. And so when we pray, we can pray with confidence in God's knowledge that God already knows, because God has been watching the entire time. God has already known about everything the entire time. We don't have to worry about if God cares. We don't have to worry about if God knows, because God already knows. And if we didn't understand that from looking at some applications from these texts in Isaiah chapter 37 and 38, we know it for sure because Jesus said, as he told us about prayer in Matthew chapter 6 verse 8, that as we pray, and as we bring ourselves into the presence of God, that our Father already knows that we have need of the things that we're praying about. And that is not something to cause us not to have the incentive to pray. That is not something to demotivate us from praying, because we think, well, God already knows, so why should I pray? No, this is to help us understand that God knows, and that I need to put my faith in the one who knows. I don't pray to tell God anything that he doesn't already know. Prayer is not really so much for God as it is for me. And because I know that God already knows, I'm showing even greater faith when I pray. And it brings me in closer relationship with God. And it gives me more confidence to know that he knows. So pray with confidence, number one, in God's knowledge. Number two, pray with confidence in God's faithfulness. Pray with confidence in God's faithfulness. As you look at this situation where Hezekiah prays about his own personal life, as he prays about the life of the city of Jerusalem and the people who live there in the nation of Judah, God takes care of them all, because God is faithful. And Isaiah says to God, he turns to God, and he says, incline your ear, listen and hear, open your eyes and see. Because he knows that God is faithful. And because he knows that God is faithful, because he knows that he can depend on God, he has confidence. The utmost of confidence. Maybe many of you remember a few years ago when Lewis Rushmore was here, and he was giving a report about one of his mission trips over in India, in a particular part of India where they were, that they were traveling by like what we would call a big Greyhound bus. And he showed a slide up here as he was giving one of his reports. And it was a picture of the bus about to cross a small bridge. And he said, you may wonder why I have a picture of the bus about to cross this bridge. That's because as the bus approached this bridge, it stopped. And the bus driver got up and said, okay, everybody get off the bus and walk across the bridge. And then I'll bring the bus across, and if the bridge doesn't collapse and the bus makes it across the bridge, then you can get back on. You see, you don't have a lot of confidence in that bridge. You don't have a lot of faith in that bridge. There's no confidence in knowing that, yeah, I've got this bus over this bridge full of people and we're going to make it just fine. You can have confidence in God's faithfulness, that He will support us. He's strong enough for us to cross. He won't collapse. God will be faithful. And Isaiah says, God, because I know you're faithful, you're going to deliver us from the king of Assyria. I know that you're going to do these things because you are faithful. And I hope it's not too much out of context to put 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 here. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 deals with how we deal with temptation. And it tells us that no temptation has arisen that is not uncommon to man. But God is faithful. And with every temptation that we face, we will also be given a way of escape. But look at that little phrase. And I hope I'm not taking this too much out of context, but I think it makes a good application. God is faithful. In temptation, in disaster, in death, whatever it may be, God is faithful. So pray. When you and I pray, let us pray with confidence in God's faithfulness. Number one, we pray with confidence in His knowledge. Number two, we pray with confidence in His faithfulness. Number three, we pray with confidence in His will. Pray with confidence in God's will. And we learn that from Hezekiah. You see, Hezekiah, when he was faced with the situation of being overthrown by the Assyrian army, when he was faced with the situation of imminent death because of the disease that he had, there was only one thing he could do. Pray. The only thing he could do was leave it with God. He could not control it himself, like I can't control most of the things that happened to me. He could not absolutely determine the outcome, like I can't either. But he could pray to God, and he could leave it with Him. And he could pray for God's will to be done. You see, prayer is not my determination to get my will done in heaven. Prayer is for me to be open enough for heaven's will to be done in my life. Prayer is not about me imposing on heaven what I want done on earth. Prayer is about accepting what heaven wants done on earth. It's not about my will, it's about His will. And when Isaiah was faced with these difficulties, with these challenges, he knew that it was the will of God on which he must depend and in which he had the utmost and absoluteness of confidence. Pray with confidence in God's will. Now, in both situations, Hezekiah was given a very positive answer to his prayer. His life was extended. The city of Jerusalem was saved from the Assyrian threat. Those instances, both answers, were in harmony with God's will. And yet, I think we would not be doing our duty in studying the Word of God if we did not also bring this to the table right now. Sometimes God says no to our prayers, because it's better in keeping with His will than yes. The Bible tells us when Hezekiah prayed in Hezekiah chapter 38 that he wept bitterly. He cried as he prayed. And yet I also recall the Son of God, Jesus Himself, praying many centuries later, "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me." And that God told His own Son, no. And I know that Jesus also wept bitterly. The gospel accounts do not so much directly state that, but in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, we read this statement, an inspired commentary that takes us back to Gethsemane. Hebrews 5, verse 7, talking about Jesus, says, "In the days of His flesh, when He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His godly fear." Jesus cried vehemently and bitterly, profusely, in the garden. And yet God, and notice Hebrews 5, 7 says God even heard Him. And yet God had to say no. You see, if God had said yes to Jesus then in Gethsemane, He would have been saying no to all of us about our salvation. We must understand that God's will is about His highest good for all concerned. And in these situations with Hezekiah, that did not interfere in the way that God answered these prayers. But God may even say no to us sometimes because His higher will is the greatest good that He can do for me and everyone who is connected with me. You see, having the faith and the confidence in God's will, it's not that I'm going to doubt God's will after I've said, "Thy will be done." It's not that after I say, "Thy will be done," I say, "Are you sure this is what it is?" But I have the utmost of confidence in God's will, that this is the greatest good, this is the highest good, this is the best good for me, for everyone concerned. I may not think it at the time, but because I have confidence in God's will, that's what it is. And I put my faith, my trust, my hope, my all, my confidence right there. Because God fulfilling His ultimate will in your life, my life, is the greatest thing He can do for us. But we must pray with confidence in His will. And with great humility accept it when we see it and understand it. Number four, pray with confidence in God's power. Number one, pray with confidence in God's knowledge. Number two, confidence in God's faithfulness. Number three, confidence in God's will. But number four, pray with confidence in God's power. As you think about the Assyrian threat on the nation of Judah, Judah was outnumbered. Judah was going to be conquered for sure if the Assyrian army were to march into the city gates. But the mightiest army on earth, and at the time of Hezekiah and Sennacherib and Assyria and Israel and Isaiah, Assyria was the mightiest army on earth. It was the most powerful nation at that time. And the mightiest army on earth, the mightiest power on earth, cannot win a single battle against God. Not one Assyrian soldier marched into Jerusalem. Not one Assyrian sword was raised in Jerusalem. Not one drop of Israelite blood was shed by an Assyrian in Jerusalem. You see, we must have confidence in God's power because it was God's power that delivered Jerusalem. Nothing is too hard or too big for God. God is greater than it all. And we must have confidence in God's power. And when we pray, we must pray with that confidence in God's power, like Hezekiah prayed on both these occasions, with confidence in God's power. You see, when Hezekiah faced these very significant problems, when Hezekiah faced these very faith-challenging issues, he knew exactly what to do and where to turn. Prayer with confidence in God's power. Do we know where to turn when we face difficulty? Do we know where to turn when we face death? Do we know where to turn when we have challenges that shake us to the very core? Pray with confidence in God's power. Number five, pray with confidence in God's glory. Pray with confidence in God's glory. As you look back at chapter 37, verse 20, Isaiah says in his prayer, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand." Why? "That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone." You see, Hezekiah prayed for God's glory to be known in all the world. You may recall that when Moses went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should know him?" He refused, even once he began to understand slightly who God was, to give him any glory. And God had to show his glory by the powerful destructive plagues that he brought on the nation of Egypt to finally get everyone to understand he is powerful, he is glorious, this is his glory in God alone. And Hezekiah was praying here, "God, I want you to do what you need to do so that everyone will know who you really are. And that you're not imaginary, you're not a fairy tale, that you're as real as ever." And we need to pray, when we think about having confidence in God's glory, we need to pray that God's name will never be doubted and that God's name will never be downgraded, but that God's name will always be given glory, because God will do what he says he will do. This is glorious. This is his glory. And we must pray with confidence in that glory, knowing that God will always do what he says that he's going to do, and that we give him the glory, and that others will see that glory. And we must ask ourselves the question, as we think about praying with confidence in God's glory, do I live for God's glory? Or is it just my glory? Or is it just someone else's glory? Do I personally live for God's glory? Because if I do, if all that I do is motivated by making God who he really is in the eyes of myself and everyone around me, if that's really my motivation, I will have great confidence in God's glory. And I will make that known to everybody as much as I can. So pray with confidence in God's glory. Number six, pray with confidence in God's loving kindness. When you read these prayers of Hezekiah in chapter 37 and 38, you are impressed by Hezekiah's acknowledgement of God's graciousness and God's love. And We need to pray like Hezekiah did, with confidence in God's love and God's graciousness and God's loving kindness. God loves you. We hear that a lot. We've heard it a lot all of our lives. But don't let it just roll off your back. Because God earnestly, sincerely loves you. And we need to have confidence in that, that will motivate us when we pray, to pray with complete and utter confidence in God's love and His loving kindness. Romans chapter 8, as we think about Hezekiah praying in the face of death. Romans chapter 8, as we think about Hezekiah praying with confidence in God's loving kindness, having been told he was going to die, having been told that, knowing about the threat of the Assyrian army, Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus our Lord." Pray with confidence in God's loving kindness. When you go back and you read Isaiah 38, and you see that the text tells us that Isaiah wept bitterly, and that in response to that, God says through Isaiah to Hezekiah, "I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears." Only tears move a person who really loves you. I weep the hardest for those I love the most. And I am touched the deepest when I see the tears of those I dearly love. When God saw the tears, His heart was touched. Because of His loving kindness. And so here's the truth that gives us confidence when we pray. And here's the truth that will warm our hearts even in the darkest hour. Pray with confidence in God's loving kindness. But now, seventh and finally this morning, I want us to pray, but this time with thankfulness. Pray with thankfulness for all that God has done. That's exactly what you see Hezekiah doing. Chapter 37 and 38, but especially chapter 37. That he is praying with thankfulness for all that God has done. And that great example of this righteous man Hezekiah, all these many years ago, still speaks to us today, to be thankful and to pray with thankfulness for all that God has done for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything we give thanks for all that God has done for us. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Notice how prayer is mentioned, or communication is mentioned with God three times. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Within everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Some translations say that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts. The idea there of keep or guard is that the word that is used there, the terminology that is used there for keep and guard, whatever English translation you may be reading, is the idea that's expressed by a fortress building a wall around. That the peace of God will build a wall around our heart to protect it, to guard it, to keep it. And we find that protection. We find that wall of love and peace when in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. We let our requests be known to God. So we pray with thankfulness for all that God has done. Hezekiah's finest moments were when he was faced with disaster and death, and he prayed. Hezekiah's finest example for you and me is to take something that is so bad, so difficult, so challenging, and just to lay it all at the feet of Holy God. And sometimes maybe we think that being told that destruction and disaster and even death, our own personal death, is imminent. Sometimes we think that's the worst thing we could ever hear. But maybe not. It's not the worst thing that could ever happen to us. In fact, it could be the most blessed thing, because it will give us a greater confidence in God, a greater confidence in prayer, as we think about His will, His power, His loving kindness, His glory, and all the great things that He's done for us that we are so thankful for. It potentially can build our faith like nothing else ever has. So pray with confidence. This morning, as we extend the invitation of this God in whom we can have so much confidence, in whom we can have so much assurance, to whom we are so thankful, remember He loves you. Remember He sent His Son to die for you. And when you turn from your sins and turn to God and through His Word, hear, believe, and obey His will, when you are immersed in Christ to be forgiven of those sins that all of us have, and we rise from the waters of baptism to walk faithfully in newness of life, we can have confidence. Absolute, unshakable, unbreakable confidence in God. Will you let God be your Father? Will you follow Him today? Will you come as we stand and we sing?